What a blessing, what an honor it is for me. As many of you know, that every Sunday morning I send out a text. I think now there's 87 pastors a text every Sunday morning immediately after I pray for them and their churches. And this morning on their text, I shared with them that I would have loved to have been with any one of them, but today I am more honored and have more joy in having the opportunity to preach in our home church than I would have any one of them. And I know that each one of them understands that. This is a very special, special place. And I just thank Brother Bryce so much for the honor that he gives me from time to time to come and to share with you folks what God has laid up on my heart and just the joy of being with you. And I was thinking last night, we joined First Baptist Church 36 years ago. And in 36 years, there has only been three pastors in this church. Isn't that something? Folks, we go to a lot of churches, but very few churches can say that about the history of their church. And that speaks well of the people in the church. And I know that we have had some tremendous pastors. We have a tremendous pastor in Brother Bryce, and I commend them, and I commend you and what First Baptist Church is and what it's doing to reach this world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're just a small fraction of that. Next week, I was thinking to tell you that we'll be in China next Sunday morning preaching the gospel, but that's not China the country. That's China, Texas, First Baptist Church, China, Texas. And so we had the opportunity to go a lot of places, but we thank you for this opportunity. But I know that you didn't come to hear about us, but you wanted to hear something from God. And so I pray today that God will speak to your heart as well as he has spoken to my heart. We live in a difficult time, a changing time. I wrote in my last newsletter that in all of these years, in 38 years of traveling from place to place to place to place, how that we have seen so much change in the area of evangelism and what churches do in reaching this massive world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you and I both know, statistically speaking, Southern Baptists, instead of going up in baptismal, we're going down in baptismal. We're reaching less people today than we've ever had before. And I believe that today there's a misconception on what it means to be a Christian. And so today I just want to take a simple message today and share with you the title, What Defines a Christian? What defines a Christian? Last year I was in some people's house and we were sharing the gospel with them, and one of the members of the family simply made this statement. We know that what you believe is not like what we believe, but we believe that it doesn't really matter what you believe because we're all striving to get to the same place. Well, my friend, think about that statement for just a moment. That it doesn't matter what you believe, that we're all striving to get to the same place. Well, I'm here to say today, everything depends on what you believe. There's not many ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall see the Father except by me. Some people would describe a Christian as a person that goes to church. But my friend, what does the Bible say? I believe that one of the greatest definitions of what being a Christian is found over in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, where it simply states this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you and I know that as Paul wrote that letter, Paul had already had that tremendous salvation experience on the road to Damascus. But he said, because of that experience in my life, he said, I want you to know I am a servant. I am a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am not of my own, But he said, when I accepted Christ into my life, I became a slave for him. I exchanged my life. As he wrote that great verse, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I want you to know, I died when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I live, but it's not me. It's Christ that lives within me. So therefore, I am a bond slave unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Called to be an apostle. Called to be a sharer of the gospel. He said, separated into this. Separated into the gospel of God. He said, that's what it means to be a Christian. To go back to our text that we read a moment ago. You remember the context that it was written in. I mean, they were having a revival. They were having a great breakout down at Antioch. Word had gotten back to Jerusalem. They said, we need to send somebody down there. They asked Barnabas, and Barnabas said, I'll go. And Barnabas goes down there. And when he gets there, he sees that it's truly a work of God. And the Bible said that he exhorted them. He encouraged them to keep on keeping on doing what they were doing. And the Bible said many people were added unto the Lord. But they had such a movement of God that the Bible says that he left. He left. And he went down to Tarshish to seek Saul. And when he found Saul, he brought him into Antioch. And the Bible said it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves together with the church and they taught much people for a year. And notice what it says. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What does it mean to be a Christian? Well, I just want to just simply say today, in a very simple sermon, about four things that I believe defines a Christian. And I believe the first one starts it all off. Because I believe in order to be a Christian, a person has to be born again. The Bible's very clear. You remember in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus came, he said, we know that you're a teacher. We know that you're a great man for God, for no man can do the thing. He said, man, you are it. But you remember what Jesus said? He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. I believe a Christian is one that knows that there has been a change in their life. I'm one of those that believe that maybe you don't know the verse, that you may not even know the exact date, but I believe that every Christian ought to know of a time in their life when they came to the recognition that they were a sinner and that God loved them and that Jesus Christ died upon a cross in order to forgive them of their sins. And they invited Jesus Christ into their life and they repented of their sin and they were born again. I believe a person ought to know that. I've had people tell me in all of these years in traveling, they say, preacher, I don't believe that a person can know that they're a Christian. You ask some, say, are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, I hope so, I think so, maybe so. Are you going to heaven? I hope so, I think so, I maybe so. My friend, I'm here to say today that Christianity is not a hope so, think so, maybe so, but it's a no so. He wrote in the book of 1 John, I've written these things so that you may know you have eternal life. And you know you have eternal life when you know that you've been born again. You see, my friend, that which is born physically is physical. And that which is born spiritually is spiritual. And a person has to be born again. Just as there's a natural birth, so there must be a spiritual birth. That moment that we surrender ourselves unto the Lord Jesus Christ, that we become the sons of God, adopted into the family of God, and that we are no longer ours, but we're His. Are you a Christian? Well, I walked an aisle. Are you a Christian? I went through the baptistry. Are you a Christian? I joined a church. Are you a Christian? Well, my daddy's a preacher. Are you a Christian? Well, grandma gave the organ. No, my friend, I want to tell you. Being a Christian is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham, and you have to be so careful in these days in who you quote anymore, but Billy Graham said that one of the greatest mission fields in America lies within the walls of our churches. And the reason he said that is simply this. He said that our churches are filled with people that know all about God in their mind, but they've never experienced God in their heart. You see, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So I believe that a Christian is first and foremost is a person that has been born of the Spirit of God. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. My friend, if that has happened in your life, then you can go back to a point to say that I remember that day that a change came into my life. And the things that I once loved, I no longer love. The places that I once went, I no longer go. The things I once did, I no longer do. Why? Because Jesus Christ made a difference in my life. Being a Christian is a person that has been saved by the Spirit of the living God. The second thing I wrote down is simply this. To define a Christian. A Christian is one who loves God and loves other people. A person that loves God and loves other people. You see, the Bible says that we're to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. I mean, He is to be everything. God doesn't want second place. God deserves first place in all of our lives. We're to love Him with all of our heart. But you see, it doesn't stop with just loving God. It goes on and says that we are to love one another. If you read the book of Acts, my friend, you cannot get away from the concept that these early Christians, they loved one another. My friend, you read over in the book of Acts in the 3rd and 4th chapter where they brought their possessions and laid them down at the apostles' feet and distributed them, was made to every man according to he had need. And you read about these Christians and you find where these Christians, they suffered one with another. These Christians gave one to another. These Christians prayed together. These Christians were unselfish towards one another. I love to preach on that passage in the book of John, the 13th chapter, where Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, or that you are Christians, because you have loved one for another. And I've always said, what's new about that commandment? We've always had that commandment that we're to love God and we're to love one another. What was the newness that Jesus had? A new commandment I give unto you. Was that little phrase that He put in there. That we're to love one another as He loved us. By this all men shall know you are my disciples. So my question is simply this. How did He love us? Well, the truth of the matter is, and the Bible says, that He loved us long before we ever loved Him. That while we were yet dead in our trespasses and sin, Christ Jesus died for us. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, He of old has said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and it was through my love kindness that I drew thee unto myself. While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and loved us and loved us and loved us and loved us until eventually his love drew us into himself. Jesus said, this is how they'll know you are my disciples. This is how they'll know that you are Christians. If you have that kind of love, one for another. Wow. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 15? Where he says that we are to receive one another as Christ received us to the glory of God. How do you receive us? I imagine he received you just like he received me. He received us as we were. He took us as we were. He says, listen, that's how we receive one another. We're to take people as they are. And once that he came into our life, what happened? He changed our life. In those relationships with one another, people may not be like us. They may not act like us. They may not talk like us. But in that relationship as a Christian, then God is able to work through us to not only maybe bring them where they need to be, but to bring us to where we need to be. You see, a Christian is a person that loves God and loves other people. People that needs God's love. You can read it for yourself in 1 John 3:14. You can read it again in 1 John 4:7 and 8. You can read it again in verse 20 and 21 in 1 John 4. How he talks about this love, loving one another. I know I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. If you really want to do a very interesting study, just take a concordance and take the word one another, the word one another, and go down the list of one another's. And you'll find that God spoke more about our relationship with one another than any other subject in the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? Maybe because he knew we needed it. Such as the two that I already mentioned, love one another, receive one another. But he says that we're to submit ourselves one to another, that we're to pray for one another, that we're to suffer with one another. The Bible says that we're to edify one another. The Bible says that we're to forgive one another, and on it goes. But you see, a true Christian is a person that allows God to mold their life in not only loving God, but in loving other people as well. The third thing that I wrote down is simply this. What defines a Christian? A Christian is one that I believe is a witness for Christ. A witness for Christ. I love what the Bible says. You remember in, what was it, in Acts chapter 3, in this verse 20. You remember Peter and John? Answered and said to them, whether it be right with you in the sight of God to hearken to you more than unto God, judge you. But listen to what he says in verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and that we have heard. There in those early Christians, they said, I want to tell you something. We can't help but tell what we've seen and what we've heard. That's a witness. A witness of what Christ has done. Not only in our life, but in other people's life, that each and every one of us, and no matter who we are, we have a story to tell. And the very best story that any Christian has is a story of their own Christian life. What Jesus means to you. We're all witnesses. I've heard people tell me, preacher, that's your job. That's why you're an evangelist. You're to go tell people about Jesus. That's what we pay you to do. No. As a matter of fact, if you go over in the book of Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, you remember in that same chapter where he talked about, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But he went on and said this. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their sin, but has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. It just simply means that every one of us that are Christians are witnesses to share the glorious gospel with those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I love what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, where he says, "For I am not what? Ashamed of this gospel." Not ashamed of it. My friend, if we are a Christian, the story of the gospel is the most important message that we have to speak about. How that once we were lost, but now we're found. How that we were once dead, but now alive. Not because of who we are or because of what we've done, but because of who He is and what He had done. The greatest story ever told is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's the gospel. That God loves people. He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth can have eternal life. A Christian is someone that witnesses. The last thing that I wrote down is simply this. What defines a Christian? A Christian is one that strives, listen to me, strives to live a holy, godly life. I made a mention at the beginning that we've seen a lot change in the last 38 years. And I believe that if I had to say if there was anything that I would say has changed the most, it's that many people take Christianity as a convenience instead of a way of life. It's hard today to tell who's a Christian and who's not. Now, I know nobody in here but maybe me or on Facebook. But have you ever noticed sometimes on Facebook how inconsistent people can be? Now, I'll chunk them off, and I'll write them not a letter of apology, but I'll write them a note and tell them I took them off. But my friend, I believe that if we are Christians and that we call ourselves Christians, we ought to act like Christians, talk like Christians, and do what Christians do. I don't believe you can serve two masters. I think you'll choose one and deny the other. The Bible talks a lot about holiness. I wish I could stand here today and tell you that I'm everything that I ought to be. And I can't. And not many of you could. We all make mistakes. We all stumble. Sometimes we all come up short. But here's the point. It shouldn't keep us from striving to be holy. There ought to be a desire in each and every one of our lives to say, "God, make me more of a Christian tomorrow than I am today. God, help me be a witness." I've said this throughout the years of our traveling. And certainly not because of me, but because of their mother. But I tell people all the time that girls would have never wanted to be one of my girls in our home. Because most of our girls were, both of our girls, most of their life, almost all of their life, was raised while we were pastor and we went into evangelism. But one thing that we tried to teach our girls, that if you are somewhere and there's 100 girls and you're the only Christian girl, I believe that somebody ought to be able to watch that group and tell which one's a Christian. Because I believe that God expects you to act like a Christian, to talk like a Christian, and to conduct yourself like a Christian. And not many kids would want to hear that. But I stand before you to say today that it wasn't all my teaching. It was mostly their mama's teaching. But I stand before you to say today that I'm thankful that both of our girls are actively involved in serving God. A Christian is different. A Christian has a desire to want to be what God wants them to be. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:4, He has chosen us. He has chosen us that we should be holy and without blame. Colossians 1:22 says, He speaks about through His body, through His flesh, through His death, to present us holy and unblameable before the Father. So what is a Christian? Simple message. A person that has been saved. A person that loves God and loves other people. A person that is not ashamed to tell others the story of the gospel. And a person that strives to live their life as God would have them to live. It does matter what you believe. There's not many ways. There's only one way. And that's His way. Amen? And I pray today that all of us could say today, I know that I know. But I just be honest. There's some that can't. There's people in this room today that if you were confronted with this question, when you die, will you go to heaven? And some of you would say, I hope so. I think so, maybe so. But in your heart, you cannot say, I know so. I know so. How do I know? Because I've been born again. How do I know? Because not only do I love God, I love people. How do I know? Because every opportunity I have, I want to tell people about the gospel. How do I know? Because my desire is that I will be a better Christian tomorrow than I am today. Yes, I know where I'll spend eternity. Do you know? And if you're here today and you don't know, we want to give you that opportunity. My friend, it's not my way, it's God's way. I can't save you. Only God can save you. But if you'll believe in your heart that God loves you so much that He gave His Son upon that cross, that He died in order for your sins to be forgiven, and you're willing to repent of those sins and invite Him into your life, you could walk out of here today a new person. A new person. Born to the Spirit of the living God. You say, I've done walked it out. I've been through a baptistry. I've done joined churches. No. Not talking about walking an aisle. Talking about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to give you that opportunity in just a moment. Josh is going to be standing here, and we're going to invite you, if you want to come and just take Brother Josh by the hand and say, Brother Josh, I don't know. I'll be honest, Brother Josh, I don't know. But I want to know. I promise you that we'll stay here until you know that you know. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, you can honestly, truthfully say, I know that I know. But if you're not living for God, wouldn't today be a great time to come back to God? God didn't walk away from you. You walked away from God. Maybe you're here today and you know you're saved, but maybe you're just not where you ought to be, not where you want to be, but you can be. Maybe today would be a good time to just simply say, God, I'm coming back home, coming back where I need to be. And Brother Bryce said, naturally, if you need a church home, you couldn't find a better church than this church. People that loves you, a pastor that preaches the word of God. If you're looking for a church home, this church would love for you to make this your home. Maybe you need to make that decision. I don't know. But I was telling Brother Josh, and I'm through. I tell him, Brother Josh, I don't lead a long invitation. I quit that years and years and years and years ago. Man, I remember back in the 70s and the 80s when you had to beat people down in the aisle. Everything was judged on how many people going to walk down the aisle, how many people going to be at the altar, how many people you going to run through the baptistry, how many people going to join the church, all of that week after week after week. And finally, I just threw it all aside, and I said, no. No. You'll come when God wants you to come. And if you're here today and God wants you to get saved, all you have to do is open your heart and come. You're here today and you need to get right with God, all you have to do is come. I listened to Max Licato this morning, and he says, out of 1,000 steps, God's already taken 999 of them, and he's waiting for you to take that one. Wow. You can take that one this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. And God, I pray that not a person would walk out of this auditorium today not knowing what it means to be a Christian. God, I know we live in a world of turmoil, a world of confusion, a world today that's going in every direction, God, calling out for so many different answers. But the truth is, there's only one way and there's only one answer, and that's you. And so, Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, I pray that they would come on this very first verse. God, if there's somebody who wants to rededicate their life, I pray that they would come. Somebody needs a church home, may they come. But, God, this is your invitation. God, you speak to your people. And then, God, give them courage to take that first step, and you'll take all the rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.